What's up, all stars? This is episode 6 of Podcast Infinite. Where the hell is time going? I'm your host, Kyle Borkett. Alongside me is Ryan Damn Dude Walker. And the one and the only pretty boy, Nooch. Sigh. You guys are a talkative bunch today. Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what sums up my life.
What have you guys been up to? We've barely talked this past week. I just got back from a couple days out of town, and I've been on that working grind the past couple days. I played a lot of video games in the past week, though, so that's kind of cool.
By a lot of video games, you likely just mean Guacamelee, though, don't you?
I've played 3 video games in the past 5 days. But yes, we'll get to that in just a bit.
Damn, dude.
What have you guys been up to?
3 video games in the past 5 days. I'll tell you how many video games I played in the past 5 days. 1. I have pledged my life to Borderlands 2.
Wrong. You played Call of Duty yesterday.
No. Call of Duty doesn't count.
And before this podcast, you told me that you did The Last of Us multiplayer today.
No. That was 1 hour of The Last of Us.
That still counts.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. I wasn't into it.
hey, Nooch, you want to know something? I put The Last of Us in my PS3, and I played for 1 hour, but it doesn't count that I played the game.
It doesn't count.
Because I wasn't into it.
It doesn't count.
Guys.
It doesn't count. If it's not anything more than half a day, it doesn't count as playing.
So 12 hours is the only time that it counts.
Yeah, you have to have at least played a game for a minimum of 12 hours in a week to have played the game.
Well, Ryan, guess what? I don't think I've ever played Injustice then.
Nope.
Okay, so you guys are both from Chicago. And I was in Chicago for like 3.5 hours on Sunday. We should have met up.
You were in Chicago. Did you get some pizza?
I didn't. I was stuck in the airport.
Oh my God. What is wrong with you? How could you go to Chicago and not get a pizza? If you're stuck in the airport for 3 damn hours, you should have left the airport for a few hours and went and got a pizza. You should have told me or Nooch or something. We would have fucking found a way to get you a pizza. You can't come to Chicago and not try a pizza.
Who do I think I am? Jeez.
Chicago.
Do you guys live near? I was in Midway. Do you guys know where Midway is?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the airport I was at. There's another one too, but I forget the name of it.
Yeah, this is not.
You probably could have just walked out of the airport and fucking found a pizza place and got one. I mean, seriously, Kyle.
Who needs pizza? I want to hang out with my Podcast Infinite buddies.
Come Podcast on. Infinite, the fuck airport that. Podcast.
Fuck that. You could no. The pizza is more important in this case. If you're in Chicago, the first thing you should do is go get a pizza.
The airport and pizza podcast.
Brought to you by Podcast Infinite, brought to you by Chicago Style Pizza. If you're in Chicago, get it.
Podcast Infinite, brought to you by Domino's Pizza, because that's the most knowable pizza.
Okay, so Nooch, let's start with you. What have you been playing video game-wise the past week?
Okay, well, if you have to play it for 12 hours, then I guess Call of Duty doesn't count. But mainly, I've been playing Ni No Kuni.
And
for a long time.
Yeah, you were telling us when we weren't recording exactly what that meant. Maybe let the listeners know.
Over 40 hours.
Yikes.
It's kind of a lot.
Nooch, don't you play baseball too? Like, how do you fit all this in your day?
You know, stuff.
I'm in 2 places at once. What can I say? That's all you played, Nooch? Really?
Actually, I'm kind of not happy. This is going to be edited out, but kind of not want to share that.
Okay.
What? What?
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
All right, Ryan, how about you, man?
I play Borderlands 2. That's the only thing. I'm committing myself each and every week to deliver at least 30 hours of my time to that game. because it literally saved my life when I was going through a depression. I started playing Borderlands, and it made me smile every day, as you can read in my blog that I posted today.
By the way, check out Ryan's blog on IGN, IGN.com/blogs/ATR117. That blog is your best yet, dude. We're going to get that on the website within the next couple of hours, probably. That's amazing.
I tried. I really, like whenever I was walking, whenever I was working, whenever I had some downtime and I wasn't actually writing out in the blog, I was thinking what I wanted to say. And it turns out that I actually missed some things that I wanted to say in that blog. I feel like I owe it to Borderlands 2 to platinum the game, to earn every single trophy in the game, and I'm sitting at a nice 86%. Only need about 6 more trophies until I officially have everything. And then also, Borderlands 2 reminded me of what kind of gamer I am. I'm the kind of gamer who likes the open world type of setting and stuff, but I also desire a challenge, much like the character that I play as Zero.
Well, you know you're playing Borderlands 2 a lot when you start speaking in haiku like Zero, and that's all you've been saying. I desire a challenge.
Which is why you're playing Ni No Kuni.
Fuck Ni No Kuni.
Say it right. Come on, bro.
I wish I could get like a voice changer and speak like Zero. It's happening next week.
Yes. For me, I have been playing the PlayStation Vita almost exclusively. Of course, I went to a wedding last Friday. I left for Kansas City, and then flew from Kansas City to Charlotte, North Carolina, and eventually to Pittsburgh, PA. Then on Saturday, I drove to my friend's wedding from Pittsburgh to Akron, Ohio, which is like a 2-hour drive. Spent the night there. Then on Sunday, drove from Akron, Ohio to Pittsburgh, caught a flight from Pittsburgh to Chicago, and then from Chicago back to Kansas City, and then drove from Kansas City to my apartment in Topeka. So it was all about my Vita, and I played Guacamelee, which is awesome. Awesome, awesome. I'll talk about that in a little bit. Almost done with it. I have all the superpowers, all the abilities. I just have one more boss to beat. And I played some PS All-Stars, just some training, trying to learn some new combos with Jack and Daxter. I've been trying to learn them a little bit. And then when I got back to my apartment yesterday, I actually booted up some more Sly 2, plugging away at the Platinum Trophy in that. So I've been playing a lot of Vita, actually.
So for once, Kyle is actually the most busy game-wise of the group.
I played a lot, but I think Nucci played more hours than I did, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to dispute that, but I'm saying, like, the most versatile of the group this week, considering I just played Borderlands and Nucci just played Ni No Kuni.
Yeah. No, it was fun. Guacamelee is a lot of fun, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. So, like I was saying before, our IGN blogs, Ryan's blog is amazing. We will get that up on our website, which is podcastinfinite.wordpress.com. Ryan on IGN is ATR117. Nooch is Nooch333, and I am WXman Kyle. Don't check out my blog. I haven't written anything in like a month, so, but that will be changing. But go check out Ryan's blog.
I don't really care if you do or don't. I enjoyed writing the blog, and that's all that really matters to me.
Yeah, you can add us on PSN2. A Bit of Luck 151 is me, Ryan, Chimera, and Helgas, and Nooch, as always, Nooch333. Nooch, why are you so smart, man? Seriously, why do you have to have everything the same? That's why
I'm so dumb.
Coming in hot.
So I just want to say, for the first time today, when I was finishing up writing that Borderlands blog, I actually cried for the first time in a while. I didn't necessarily cry, because I don't really cry. Just like, you know, tears started coming down, and I was like, oh.
This is tough.
And then you don't even judge me.
I got two words for you. Damn, dude.
I'm going to charge $5 now every time you say that one, Kyle.
Plus 25% interest, so it'd be like $7.25.
Yeah. You're practically going to buy me an Xbox One when you by the time
This is a conversational podcast, okay? I got a quick story to tell before we move on. So, I went to that wedding right last weekend, and it was one of my best friends from college. He got married to his best friend, which was awesome. Me and my friends have known the two of them for a long time, for like 4 or 5 years. And after the wedding, Matt and Kathleen are their names, and they like went to like a bed and breakfast or something. And so me and a bunch of our my buddies who were all out of town, much of us actually out of the time zone completely, we went and actually Matt let us crash in his like house, like in the house that him and Kathleen bought. So it's literally like 2 a.m. on the East Coast, and we're just drinking wine and telling like remember whens in, I kid you not, Matt and Kathleen's like bedroom. There was like 12 of us just sitting in like their actual bedroom drinking wine and just like chilling. So I think that's like the first ever person could say that on the bride and groom's wedding night, I slept in their room, if that makes sense. It was really weird.
Whoa, yeah. That's creepy, Kyle.
It's very
that's
creepy.
Too much information. You were watching them.
I mean, they weren't there, but I technically stayed in their room. It was kind of weird. It was really kind of weird, but it was funny. Conversational podcast.
I don't know. I'm betting a lot of people could say they were in the bride and groom's room in the thing. They could probably say it, but they'd never admit it because then it'd be like, whoa, that's creepy. We didn't know you were there.
Yeah, what are you doing in our hotel room? Oh, my God. He's sick.
This was our honeymoon.
Yeah, jeez. No, so that was a fun time. I know we've been kind of busy and all over the place, but guys, my first review of a game for Podcast Infinite, Dragon's Crown, that game comes out on Tuesday, so things are already going to be spiraling out of control. Nooch, you're doing Saints Row 4 on the same day that Ryan's doing Blacklist Splinter Cell, or Splinter Cell Blacklist, yeah.
Blacklist Splinter Cell.
Dyslexic. So it's going to be awesome. Are you guys excited to, like, review? I mean, Nooch, you've already reviewed The Last of Us, but Ryan, are you excited to do your first review, too, coming up here?
I actually did, I think, two reviews before.
Right.
The one coming up, but I don't know.
It's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I don't know. I was excited for Splinter Cell when it was announced a long time ago, and now that I've seen a lot of the multiplayer things, it's just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm not as excited as I used to be. I'm still getting it, but it's just like I'm not. You know,
yeah.
I desire a challenge, so that ghost playthrough will be fun.
Nooch, I think this is a perfect time to let our listeners know of our new initiative, trying to get some more writers or whatnot.
Oh, yeah, we're trying to get some more people, as us three are, we're all mostly PlayStation experts. So we're all trying to get some Nintendo and Xbox experts into the mix, or PlayStation, another one, I guess. So what you need to do is email us at podcastinfinite@gmail.com, and then just tell us like what you want to do, and send us in a sample of your writing, and then we'll review that and we'll respond.
Bye. They will review it. They mean they will review it because I was outvoted in this matter.
You were always outvoted. 2-1. Sorry, Ryan. Go get fucked.
Man. We already had a person volunteer, though.
Yes, Rashad, a friend of the podcast, as it were.
Probably the first listener and only listener at the moment.
That's right. All right, what do you guys say? We get to get into some news items. The first one on the list today is Fez 2 canceled because Phil Fish goes crazy. Nooch, tell me about it.
I'm not actually sure of all the details or everything, but
just the gist of it.
Some kind of like people were kind of going crazy, or Phil Fish was going crazy on Twitter, and he was like. Like, he was kind of, like, blowing up at people, and he, like, there was a point where he was like, compare your life to mine and kill yourself. And so...
Whoa. Damn, yeah. Dude.
Yep.
As I said last week, it perfectly expresses my feelings towards a lot of situations.
Hey, let pretty boy talk here. Let pretty boy talk.
And I don't even know. It's like, he just kind of went berserk and just, I don't even know.
He's like, basically, I'm done. Fez 2, yeah, the game you all wanted, is done.
Yeah, so it was just like a couple people on Twitter were talking to him, and he just got like, I mean, they weren't being like nice to him, but he went crazy. And then after that, he said, I'm done. Fez 2 is canceled. and then, like, goodbye.
And he made his Twitter account right after that private, so no one can see anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It goes back to the conversation we had last week about hate on the internet and stuff. And actually, Podcast Beyond this past week, they kind of dove into that, and they were talking about Phil Fish. And I kind of echo what Colin Moriarty said at No Taxation on Twitter. That, like, if you're dishing out the hate, again, like you said, Nooch, like, the people weren't being nice to him, but, like, I don't know. You gotta have thick skin, especially in this business. You know what I mean? And I don't know. I heard Cliff Bleszinski, of course, the creative director back at Epic. Now he's since, you know, retired at the age of, like, 30, and the creator of Gears of War. He wrote, like, an open letter to Phil Fish and why the video games industry needs him and his creative, like, indie mind, as it were. I don't know. Basically, again, like, if you're going to hate on other people, be prepared to get hate back. I don't know. I really don't know what to say about that. Like, how about you guys? I don't know.
I think we should be getting paid for beyond talking about what we just talked about before them. I think we should be getting paid for that. That's kind of a –
they copied
us. You stole our idea.
They copied us a whole week after. How about that, man? That's awesome.
You stole our idea. And you got people to watch it. So, you know, I want some kind of compensation for this.
Again, fellow PIers, just be nice to people. Be nice to people. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. Watch what you say out on the social medias, on the twiddles. Okay, number two. This is probably my favorite on the list about the Wii U. So, oh, the Wii U. All right. Here we go. I'm going to read this kind of slow so we can really hammer this point home. I actually put in some extra things, did some homework at the end. Here we go. The Wii U sold just 160,000 units globally, between the beginning of April and the end of June. That is astonishingly low. That's less than half the 390,000 units that it managed to sell in the final 3 months of its last financial year. So that was probably when it first came out into, which would technically be the financial year of 2012. Software figures were not much better, and by software they mean games, and I didn't even know that there were games for the Wii U. 1.03 million total for the quarter. Total Wii U sales now stand at 3.61 million. Okay, so there's just over 3.5 million Wii U's in the wild. How about the Wii? The Wii sold 210,000 in the same time period, with 3.67 million games sold. It's nudged now over 100 million lifetime sales. So 100 million, of course, it's been on a lot longer, compared to 3.5. All right, so for comparison, the 3DS, which is saving Nintendo completely right now, with 1.4 million units sold in the same time that only 390,000 were sold for the Wii U, 11.4 million games sold, okay, games for the Wii U, 1.03, has kept Nintendo afloat this quarter. Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you guys,
yeah,
if you remember,
it's Nintendo's own fault. It's Nintendo's own fault. They have no games. They're actually releasing their first game in almost over a year this Sunday. And another thing, why do they release games on Sunday? Are they retarded? Do people want to go and buy a game on Sunday? No. They're used to Tuesday. Why would I go buy a game on Sunday? Everyone releases it on Tuesday. Why do you have to be different, Nintendo? Screw off.
Whoa, look at that. Ryan on his soapbox. Whoa. Ryan coming in hot. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so there you go, Nintendo. Ryan, tell them how you feel. Jeez. Yeah, so for some further comparison, The Last of Us sold 3.4 million copies in its first 3 weeks. Again, the Wii U sold 390,000 units.
To help you out here, Kyle, just as you said earlier, the total Wii U sales now stand at 3.61 million. So,
worldwide.
A console
worldwide.
Game. One game on one console sells
just barely the same amount as the console.
In 3 weeks.
My, how the mighty have fallen. Nintendo.
Yeah.
Maybe if you released your games on Tuesdays, this wouldn't be happening.
Okay. So I was having a conversation with my cousin, not even about this. He asked me today, he said, and I know, Peter, you're listening, so you'll be happy. Do you have a Wii U? And I said, no, I don't have a Wii U. He actually just got one. His father-in-law bought him one, and the deluxe version. And he seems to think the only reason why the Wii U is not doing well is because it was released too early when games didn't come out. Now, I agree with that, but I don't think it's the only reason. There are a lot of other reasons. I'll start the discussion off. The first and foremost reason for me is the name, the branding, Wii U. I was talking to my parents today, and just for the heck of it, I was talking to my mom, and I'm like, hey, mom, because she, of course, she uses, like, Wii Fit and stuff for, like, the Wii we have at our house. I'm like, do you know what a Wii U is? And my mom's like, what? I'm like, a Wii U. Do you know what that is? And it's only been out for almost a year now. She's like, no, I actually don't know. Like, so normal consumers don't know what it is. Is it Wii 2? Is it, like, an add-on for the Wii? And guess what? Really? Even if you're into gaming like we are, and if you're listening to this podcast, Nintendo still hasn't done a good job of describing what the Wii U is, why there aren't many games, and what the heck that touchpad's for.
Yeah, I think a reason that the Wii U hasn't sold so well is because, remember, Nintendo's marketing for Wii? I saw commercials for that piece of crap all over the place. Mm-hmm. I ain't seen commercials for the Wii U once.
Yeah, I think
always complain about Sony doing with PlayStation. They don't advertise a lot. Now that's what Sony's doing. Not Sony, Nintendo.
That's what I think the main problem is that there's, like, no marketing. Is that I think I saw, like, a bunch of Wii U commercials, like, right when it came out, but ever since there's been, like, nothing. And then I see a few, like, 3DS commercials now and then, but, like, I rarely see a Wii U commercial, like, ever.
Well, how about this? Like, for example, okay, 3DS versus Wii U. How come the 3DS is getting, like, a Luigi's Mansion 2 and the Wii U's not getting that? You know what I mean? How come the 3DS is getting all these Pokemon games? You know, like, they're supporting it, you know? Animal Crossing New Leaf, 3DS. Like, all those killer apps. Fire Emblem, 3DS. Like, it's obvious Nintendo's putting all their money into it anyway, you know? Well, so, I don't know why they're not shocked.
I think the reason that the Wii U is failing is the same reason that the Vita is not doing as well as it could be.
Sure.
It's because there's not a fan base, because fans want games and, like, publishers won't put anything on the system until there's a fan base.
Right.
So they're at, like, a stalemate, and they just need, like, more, or gamers need more games and publishers need more gamers.
Yeah, to make money, of course. And yeah. I actually read an article not too long ago about how, I mean, Nintendo could be completely lying. I'll tell you what I think the scenario is going to be in just a second. But they said that that Reggie guy, Reggie Fils-Aimé or whatever his name
is. My body is ready.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was from E3, wasn't it? I forgot about that. Oh, my God.
He just went completely off tangent. He's like, where the hell did that come from?
My body is ready. He was quoted saying that, like, Nintendo is not ready to make a price cut for the Wii U because they are, quote, losing money already selling it, like, the deluxe version at that $350 price. Well, duh, you're losing money. I mean, Sony and Microsoft lose money on their original consoles too, because you make all of your money in the video games industry on software, on games. So companies will release a PS4 or an Xbox One or a Wii U at a lower price than it costs to make one, just so it can get it into the households first. And then, like, how many PlayStation 3s do you guys have? I have one. You know, I've got one. How many games do you have? You know, you've got a bunch of them. And that's the thing is, so Nintendo's like, well, we're not gonna make a price cut because we're actually still losing money if you buy a Wii U. Well, guess what? Okay, so you make money on software. You don't have any games. And not only do you not have any games, but all of your games to start with, like your launch titles from last year, are essentially HD, like, reskins of Wii games, like New Super Mario Brothers U. You know, and, like, the new Donkey Kong game that's coming out. It looks great. Like, it's all in HD and whatever. It looks great, but, you know, I don't know. It doesn't appeal to us. And also, like, the third-party developers like EA and even Ubisoft, who is, you know, on the record for trying as best as they can to release their products on the Wii U. I mean, Rayman Legends was going to be an exclusive to the Wii U. Now it's coming to every single platform to man, and it's still not even out on the Wii U. They don't have their first-party games. Very few of them they do have. Most of them are on the 3DS. And the third-party studios are like, we're not making games for you. So keep your price point at $350 for a Wii U, Nintendo, and see how much software you sell to offset that price. They're going nowhere soon. Now, do I think they're screwed? No, but they're not going to reach the success of the Wii. There's no way that every household in the U.S. will have a Wii U. No way. No way.
No.
I think.
Also, I think the reason, they don't, it's not making the money that people wish it did, is because they don't make games.
Exactly.
They don't have third party supporting it, and they don't make games. They mm-hmm. They have games, have Zelda and Super Smash Bros. In the works, but they take like 4 years to make them. So,
yep. Oh boy, Ryan's gonna explode again.
They take like 4 years to make them. So how are we supposed to play them? And then you release them on Sunday.
Okay, Ryan, we're gonna give you the spotlight. This is gonna be entertaining. Okay, so you're speaking to Miyamoto right now.
Miyamoto's cool. Like he's awesome. Like I'm not dissing on him. It's not his fault. It's Nintendo's fault.
He's awesome. But okay, so how does Nintendo fix the problem in like one or two sentences? How do they fix it?
They release games. They work on more games. That's all they need to do. They need to have more games. Not even games that are fun, just more games. Reasons to buy the console, because as it stands, there is none. You can buy this game on the PlayStation 3 or the Xbox 360, and to be honest, it'll probably play and look better.
Oh, come on, Ryan. Lego City Undercover? That's a Wii U exclusive. You're telling me that's not a system seller? You can't play that on the PS3. Come on.
Yeah, I think the main reason that another main reason that it's not selling is that all of the games are on their multi-platform. That, like, mm-hmm. like they have, like, as Ryan said, there's, like, no first-party games, so all of the games that you can get are probably going to be better, or they're going to be on PS4 now and Xbox One, and they'll look better and play better, and they're also a much more robust category of games on those other platforms. So why would you prefer to get a Wii U over like a PS4 and Xbox One? It's like no point unless you really have to have Smash Bros. Or Zelda or something.
Like that's another thing. Like all of the IPs that they have are IPs that already exist, like Zelda, Donkey Kong, you know, Samus. All those games, they already exist. Nintendo doesn't play at risk at all with new IPs. They only release things that already exist. Legend of Zelda sequel, Mario sequel. It's just thrown together. Donkey Kong. Here you go. Of course, people would like to see more Metroid and Legend of Zelda. But, like, maybe if you release more games, maybe people would play a console.
Yeah, hey guys, we're making a new Metroid, right? Nope. DK Tropical Freeze. Oh, yeah.
Donkey Kong. Which, the reason I'm being so hard on Nintendo is because I honestly want Nintendo to succeed. Like, I love Zelda, I love Metroid, and Smash Bros. is the stuff. Smash Bros. Is the stuff, and I want them to succeed. Sadly, they won't because they don't release a game. Let's say they release Pikmin 3 this year. In 2 years' time, here comes Smash Bros. In 4 years' time, here's Legend of Zelda.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, too. Like, okay, the price point, deluxe version, $350. Oh, wait. PS4 launching at $399? Only $50 more.
Yeah. And also, like a lot of people would complain that I'm saying these games, like, oh, it takes a long time to develop them, and, like, don't you want games to be good? And it's like, yeah, I want the game to be good, but I also want the game, period. I don't want to wait 3 whole years for the game. I mean, I'm fine with waiting as long as I'm getting other games, but the Wii U doesn't have games. So, and as I said, if it does have them, it's on the PlayStation or the Xbox, and it probably plays better. Like, you think I'm going to buy a Wii U for Pikmin 3? No offense, Shigeru Miyamoto, but no.
Ryan just teeing off on Nintendo. Yeah, so PI listeners, come join the podcast and write about Nintendo. We're really looking for some Nintendo writers. Yeah.
This is great. Come We're gonna get hate now. We're gonna get a lot of hate now. It's coming. I can already feel it.
Oh boy. Alrighty then. Nooch, comment.
I think that says it all.
Anyone disagree? Does anyone disagree with me?
If you disagree, please write into podcastinfinite@gmail.com and let us know why.
Am I outvoted again here, or do you guys actually think I'm right on with this stuff?
Oh, no, we completely agree. And again, yeah, we're still looking for Nintendo writers, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah. A Nintendo writer. It'd be a disaster for me to write for Nintendo.
And our Nintendo writer's like, hey, guys, you think I could get on the podcast and review the wonderful 101? No, Nintendo writer, get fucked.
You think I could come on the podcast and review Pikmin 3? Please get that child game out of here. No one wants to play that crap. Get that. No.
Oh, my dear Lord. Okay, we're moving on
Miyamoto. You're great.
Disclaimer, we don't hate Nintendo.
No, it'd be great if Nintendo succeeds. It's great for the gaming industry.
Yeah, like, I honestly want Nintendo to be the second one in this council race. You know, Nintendo. I mean, of course I want Sony in first place, but, like, I want Sony, Nintendo, and then Microsoft in the dumpster where it belongs.
Ooh, dude, Ryan, you're full of one-liners tonight. Yeah, again, like, on the record, like, seriously, I have already said that I'm going to buy a Wii U, probably when Mario Kart and or Super Smash Bros. Comes out. But, again, that might be 8 years from now. So I'm not planning on buying it anytime soon.
The worst part is that they're teasing about Super Smash Bros. Every day. They're like, hey, look at this new pixel. Look at this new pixel in Super Smash Bros. Oh, that's cool. Can we see a new character now?
Yes. Yesterday's was red. Today's was white. What's tomorrow's going to be, blue?
Oh, we're getting a picture in our mind. What's the character going to be? Maybe it's going to be a Pokemon trainer.
The picture I saw
Wii Fit trainer.
Yeah, a couple days ago was the Wii Fit trainer, like, caressing Donkey Kong's butt. It was really weird.
like they're teasing the crap out of Super Smash Bros., which everyone wants, Super Smash Bros., but, like, if you're going to do things with Super Smash Bros., don't do something every day and then have it be, like, a picture of the Wii Fit trainer caressing Donkey Kong's butt. No one wants to see that. No one even wanted to see the Wii Fit trainer in Super Smash Bros. In the first place.
All right, guys.
So anyone going to play as it? No.
No, everyone's going to play as Mega Man, just like they do in Kratos and Raiden in PlayStation All-Stars.
Yeah, Mega Man. Mega Man.
Believe it or not, that was only number two on our list. So actually, we've been doing this thing. Last week, we were talking about, like, all the hate on the internet or whatever, and I cut that part out, and it actually got more listens than our actual podcast did. So that section right there about Nintendo, I'm going to cut that part out as well and post that too. And basically, it's just going to be called Ryan's Rant, and it's going to be glorious. That was awesome. Okay, so number three is Party Chat for PlayStation 4 is happening and is free. Yay. Okay, moving on to the next one.
No. We have to talk about that. That's awesome. That is a win.
I know. I was trying to sneak it by you.
That is a win. And also, they basically said Netflix is – you don't have to pay to use Netflix, which is also a huge win.
Yeah, it's
well, we
cool.
knew all this at E3. We knew that it was going to –
they
that
basically just said at E3, if you want to play the PlayStation games with your friends online, you know, competitively, then you pay $5 a month. But everything else is free.
Yeah, so, I mean – We knew that there was Party Chat, and we knew that, like, Netflix and all that was free, but we didn't know that Party Chat was free. We didn't know if it was free or if you had to have PlayStation Plus. So it's nice that it's not, that you don't have to have PlayStation Plus.
Yeah. Even though I'm going to have it anyway. And so will you guys. Hey, so you guys, like, pumped up. Like, I'm going to be playing AC4. Ryan's going to be on his Watch Dogs or Killzone Shadowfall grind. Nooch, you're going to have Knack. And, like, we can all be talking to each other while we're playing different games.
Honesty, the more likely option, I'm probably going to be back on my PS3 playing more Borderlands.
Or Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah.
So, I won't be talking to you, Ryan. Get fucked.
I can be in Skype. I mean,
yeah, me and Nooch, we'll talk. All right, man, we'll talk. It's a date.
No.
Oh God.
Me and the pretty boy. Me and the pretty boy. All right. So the next one, PS4 RAM is using 3.5 gigabytes for the operating system out of the 8 gigabytes of RAM that it has. Colin Moriarty said this on Beyond this week, too. He's like, okay, so in the past, like, week, so many people have crawled out of their attics and have all of a sudden become experts on RAM. And they're like, oh, this is horse crap. Oh, my God, I can't believe it's using this much. Guess what? The PlayStation Store sucks the way it is. So if this is going to fix the PlayStation Store and make things real time and make me like this and make me favorite that and make it be like Twitter, make it be like Facebook and blah, 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 I'm all for it. And you want to know what else? The PlayStation 4 is so freaking powerful. And Xbox One. Yeah, it's using two operating systems. So, yeah.
Actually, the thing about this is that one, people need to calm down.
They
do. PS3 right now has like 512 megabytes of RAM.
Yeah, they need to calm down. Or
something like that, or 256, I think. Yeah, something like that. So this has like 10 times more than that.
Yeah, and that 3.5 is being put into what we assume to be like the PlayStation Store, the actual operating system that we're going to see, the interface, you know?
The thing is like the people that actually
the other thing I saw was that.
Sorry.
Well, the other thing I saw was I just saw this like somewhere that the good thing about this is that the Xbox One and the PS4 are using about the same amount of RAM for their operating system, which means it's probably the right amount of RAM for just using like whatever it needs to do in the interface or whatever it does, because the PS3 was totally like it had way too little RAM for everything else other than games.
Exactly. Log on to the PlayStation Store. See how long it takes you.
Yeah, so
it takes me like 2 seconds.
Well, what the hell? It doesn't take me 2 seconds.
You know when Greg Miller was going to give away that PlayStation Plus code like a week ago or whatever? I was like sitting there. I was like, everyone's like, oh, the PlayStation Store is not loading. That's great. I'm like, oh, that's, I got a chance. I can get this free PlayStation Plus code. This is awesome because I'm sitting here waiting.
And guess what? You still didn't. So
I did. I was like, oh, damn it. How the fuck? No one can connect, so damn it. You know, I was upset. My heart was broken. I could have had PlayStation Plus again.
Yes, he is at Under the Hood on Twitter with 200 if you want to chat with this funny jokester.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood today.
That's awesome. Okay. Anything else on that, guys? I don't.
I was gonna say something. About that, like. The people that actually know shit about RAM, like Angry Joe and all those people, they haven't said a thing about this.
Yeah, Scott Lowe from IGN knows a lot, and he's just like, okay, like, awesome.
This isn't a big deal, you know? So,
yeah, Woody's Gamer Tag is the one that I saw, and he's just like...
That kid can screw off.
Well, the thing is, he worked in, like, computer technology for, like, 15 years, so he knows what he's talking about.
No, he doesn't. I don't care what you say. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Freaking Call of Duty. If you're going to buy one game every year, buy Call of Duty over Borderlands 2.
Okay, whatever.
Anything he ever says now is mute because he said that. It's like, your point is invalid because you said Call of Duty is worth your purchase more than Borderlands.
I'm just getting a kick out of this, man. Ryan is just going ham.
You don't know. Like, you should listen to that kid. He's... I'm sorry for anyone who likes him, but like, if you say a Call of Duty is worth your money more than Borderlands, you're on something, and I want some of it.
Take two and call me in the morning.
Or take one and give it to me. Give the other one to me. I'd like some of that.
Oh, dear God. Okay, so all of our millions of Australian listeners down under the crocky, you guys can all just seriously go get fucked.
I'm sorry, Australia. Like, I have a love-hate relationship with you. I like some of the people in Australia, but I dislike the way Australia kind of is. You know, they created AC/DC and stuff, they don't get Mortal Kombat, they don't get Saints Row.
Guys, so, we can't show games that
they can't play video games.
Yeah, we can't show games that have swear words or like really sexual things. So, Yeah, Saints Row 4, we're not allowing... It's illegal in Australia. Nooch, take it away, because you're the Saints Row 4 expert.
So basically, it's like this. Every female in a video game that gets released in Australia has to have a full body suit. They can't show even a fingertip, or else, nope, refuse classification. Your fingertip's showing. It's partial nudity.
Okay. Oh my God.
Poor Australians. Man. You don't get to play Saints Row 4. And if you do, you're going to play a dumb version of it.
This just might be our best podcast yet.
I'm sorry for all you listeners out there. It's my fault. Our best podcast yet, quote, unquote, whatever. Yeah. Because I'm tearing it up right now.
Yeah, this story just doesn't make sense whatsoever. Like, there's one weapon. Like, there's a dildo bat in Saints Row 3, and they don't care.
They actually allowed that game in... They actually allowed that game?
I think it's a new... There's a new system for it. Or for Australia.
They have to make an Australian version. Saints Row 4, Down Under.
That's funny. That's funny. That's actually what they called it, didn't it? Like, Saints Row 4 Australia edition?
Yeah.
There's no swear words. There's no dubstep guns or anything. So basically, you're just playing Call of Duty.
It's so ironic because seriously, I mean, if you live in Australia, all you're doing is either getting bit by, like, poisonous animals and dying, or, like, you have a pet. Yeah, you have, like, a pet, like, kangaroo that you, like, I don't know, like jump around in its, like, pouch sack thing. Or, I mean, you're just, like, snorkeling in, like, the coral reefs. I hope you, like, get cut by, like, a stingray or something. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Seriously. Who names their...
By a stingray.
Crikey. Cut by a stingray.
Who names their capital or whatever, Sydney? Like, isn't that like a girl's name? Australians.
I'm sorry, we're hating on Australians right now.
We're going ham.
We're hating on everyone right now.
This is awesome.
Not everyone. Sony's Nintendo. Safe. But now.
Yeah. I don't know.
We're not hating on Saints Row 4. We're hating on the people in Australia that are refusing Saints Row the right to go to Australia.
We haven't really talked about this, and it's the perfect time to talk about it. Nooch, you're reviewing Saints Row 4 in a little bit over – well, actually about a month from now, not even. Are you –
couple
like,
weeks.
Yeah. How are you – like what is your thought process right now? Are you kind of gearing up for it? Like you're the fanboy. Let's hear about it. I mean –
I'm trying to stay out of the loop.
So you're kind of blacking out right now, media blackout. Okay. Okay. So.
Wii U. Fanboy alert.
Have you seen any gameplay? Have you seen that superhero gameplay or anything?
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of gameplay, but it's like, I don't know. I'm trying to not form an opinion early.
Oh, exactly.
Trying to.
It's better to do that with a lot of games, though. Just going without an open mind, which is why I'm kind of regretting watching so much Splinter Cell Blacklist stuff.
It's
just like, I feel like I know the entire game now.
Well, like. That's the thing, yeah. It's kind of – you got to try to, like, get media blacked out. But it's hard, though, too, because you want to see about it, like you were just saying. But, Newts, didn't you, like, go on a media blackout pretty good with The Last of Us? I mean, I didn't watch
anything. Like, I think the only thing I watched of that after, like, February was one 30-second commercial for it.
Yeah, like we were all playing All-Stars, the only game we played before Last of Us came out. And, like, me and Ryan were like, oh, my gosh, we saw this demo today, or we saw this. And Nooch, you're like, la, 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 shh, 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 shh,
shh. Well, that was Kyle. I didn't really watch any demos. I watched Dev Diaries.
Yeah. And you're just like, I don't want to hear anything, la, 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 la.
Yeah, pretty much. And I played the demo, and Nooch was like, yeah, I'm muting you now.
We're playing Borderlands, and now I'm muting you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one is BioShock Infinite DLC, pretty much unmasked, basically. Andrew Goldfarb from IGN basically broke this. He went to Boston and met with the Ken Levine, and they talked about it. The first part I'm not interested in. We'll dive into this, so let me describe it here. It's called Clash in the Clouds, a combat-focused set of challenges, waves, spread across Colombia. Yes, is available starting today on Steam, which was yesterday, PSN, Xbox 360, and costs $5 for anyone who doesn't own the season pass. Clash in the Clouds includes four challenge maps: the Ops Zeal, Duke and Dimwit Theater, Raven's Dome, ooh, that sounds sexual, and Emporia Arcade. each of which contains 15 waves of enemies. Yes, each wave includes a blue ribbon challenge with a unique, difficult objective, as if Bioshock's not difficult as it is, and leaderboards will track your scores on each map to allow you to compare with your friends. Guess what? Not buying it. Good thing I didn't buy the season pass.
Yeah, like, just before we get to the next one, yes. Let me remind you, I don't buy season passes, and this is exactly why I tell you not to buy them, because you get stuff like that.
Yep.
Where they tell you, you're going to get single-player DLC, and guess what you got? You got Horde mode.
All right, so I'm gonna stop you right there, Ryan. Nooch, we're going to go to you. You wrote a blog, and you actually talked about Bioshock Infinite. Not going to spoil anything, but towards the end of Bioshock Infinite, about waves. I think we brought this up on the podcast before, but it's a perfect time to retie it in. What do you think of this challenge Horde wave mode?
Actually, I'm not going to get it, but I don't really care.
Yeah.
Like, if it's something you enjoy, then go for it. It's $5. And, like, it's not end of the game adding on a couple hours to the game length. It's
just a different challenge.
DLC that it's, like, optional to buy. Like, if you don't want it, then speak with your wallet. But just, like, I don't really care.
Yeah, but the thing that bugs me is they spent April, May, June, July, 4 months working on that. 4 months. And for those people that were like, when's the Bioshock Infinite DLC coming out, who bought the season pass because they were told they were going to get single-player DLC, they get that, and they're like, wait a minute. I was promised single-player DLC, and instead you give me Horde mode. Are you serious right now?
Actually, Ryan, you're kind of wrong about that. They bought the season pass because their local GameStop bro was like, hey, do you want to pick up the season pass or a game guide with that?
Yeah, but like what I'm saying is I picked Bioshock Infinite from GameStop, and they told me, like, when you get the season pass, they're going to give you all single-player DLC. So I'm imagining that's what they said everywhere. They're like, you get the season pass for Bioshock Infinite, you get all single-player DLC. So they're basically told they're going to get single-player DLC, and then they get the Horde mode, and they're like, you spent 4 months working on Horde mode? Why couldn't this be shipped with the game?
It is single-player DLC.
Yeah, it is single-player DLC, but why did it take 4 months to do it, and why couldn't it be shipped with the game?
I agree. This probably should have been shipped like within like a month of the game coming out, because it's just a wave mode. It's just Horde mode, you know?
Well, the other thing about this is that this is going to bring up, and I don't really want to get into this, but this is going to bring up all this entitlement thing that it was all with Mass Effect 3, where like the From Ashes DLC was on the disc.
Yep.
It was like done on release day, and then everyone's like all mad because it's day one DLC that you can buy for $5 that they didn't get with the game, and it's like whatever.
Yep, it's the same thing with Dead Space 3. Dead Space 3.
They started making this after the game was released.
Yeah,
this is a different story. They've spent 4 months working on it. That's the problem, though. They spent 4 months.
No, they spent 4 months working on Burial at Sea, and they're going to spend about 6 months in total.
So you're saying that they are working, that was already finished. You're saying that was already finished.
Regardless, let's put it this way. I mean, like, regardless as to how long they're working on it, I'm with you on this, Nooch and Ryan. Like, we all agree that it's just, like, we're agnostic to it. Like, we don't really believe in it, you know what I mean? We're just like, okay. But if that's your cup of tea,
cool, but why would I pay $5 for this?
I'm not. I mean, exactly. Speak with your wallet. You know, like, I'm not. Nooch, you're not.
But those people who bought the season pass already paid for it, right? So they can't speak with their wallet.
How much did the season pass cost, though?
$15.
If it was...
15 or something like that.
It was probably $20, and then 20, you get $35 of content. So even if you take that out, it's still $30 of content, and it's still a good deal.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, guys, seriously, if you're listening to this podcast, speak with your wallet. Support developers, but at the same time, don't ever, ever, ever feel obligated to buy a season pass. Again, I tell this story all the time, but I bought the season pass for Assassin's Creed 3. That was my game of, like, ever. Game was really flat, and I still have yet to play any of the DLC. I wasted $30 on it. You know, I mean, Ryan, you've been preaching this too. Like, don't buy season passes.
And also, you guys told me you bought The Last of Us season passes.
No,
and
I didn't.
You haven't played that game.
I did not. I did not. I did not buy it.
You guys have not played that game in months, pretty much.
Technically, neither of you.
I played it today for an hour.
Oh, it doesn't count, though. It doesn't count.
So now you've
played. It doesn't count, but I'm saying, like, I didm just saying, like, I didn't buy the season pass. You guys told me that you were going to, or you did.
the reason I did that was, or the reason I haven't played it is because I haven't, like, I normally play multiplayer with friends, and I haven't had friends online to play it with.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Honestly, like, I just don't want to play the multiplayer of that game anymore. There's nothing left to accomplish. So, yeah. That's why I say don't buy season passes. Unless it's a game you know you're going to be playing, which is why I kind of regret not buying the Borderlands 2 season pass, to be honest, because, like, now I'm... That's all I'm doing. Yeah. Oh, well, at least I supported the developer. I gave them... Instead of giving them $30, I gave them... Like, hold on, I'm adding the math. 45 about. Not counting the extra heads and stuff that I bought. So about 50, I'd say, and I'm still not done buying DLC from them.
You guys want a fun fact here? I bought Borderlands 2 on Black Friday last year for $25 at Walmart.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, man. Okay, so the additional content for BioShock Infinite will come in the form of Burial at Sea, a two-part episodic story that will make up the remaining two pieces of DLC for the season pass holders, or will be available for $15 each for everybody else. The first episode of Burial at Sea is set in Rapture on December 31st, New Year's Eve, 1958, the night before the famous fall of Rapture. If you played the original BioShock, you know, you go into that one section of Rapture, and it's all about, like, the New Year's Eve party, and they're getting spliced up, man. Players will once again take on the role of Booker DeWitt, but in new circumstances, obviously, that include a new noir-like version of Elizabeth. A second episode will allow you to play as Elizabeth, but Irrational hasn't released many details yet, other than saying that, quote, her gameplay will differ than Booker's and is almost survival horror. Awesome!
So seeing that it costs $15.99 for two DLC episodes of that, I'm beginning to believe that the season pass actually costed $30. And I'm actually looking it up right now.
Yeah, I think it was $30. But Nooch, we all love BioShock Infinite, and... maybe one of us should actually review that if we have free time to do so.
I was going to. I have it written halfway.
Maybe you should finish it up. Will you be getting this? I'm definitely getting it. I saw the trailer, and it just looks so cool. I love Rapture. Love Rapture. What do you think? What do you think about Rapture? Why Rapture instead of Columbia? What do you guys think? Let's sound off.
I wish I bought BioShock Infinite for the PS3 so I could play this DLC. It looks beautiful. Oh, the big daddies and the creepy little sisters.
Yes.
Sadly, I bought it for Xbox like an idiot, and then I sold it.
Yeah. Nooch, are you getting it?
I probably will when it comes out at some point.
Me too. I think it's going to be a couple months, don't you think? Probably fall, winter, something like that.
It should come out in what the Clash in the Clouds thing came out yesterday.
BioShock Infinite Season Pass costs $19.99.
So $20, and then you get $35 of content. That's a deal.
That's a deal.
Yeah, you get $20 for Burial at Sea, both episodes, and then you get the Clash in the Clouds.
Here's the thing. Actually, here's the thing. I might buy the season pass for BioShock Infinite, and it's gonna make those two DLC things cheaper. Because if you buy them separately, it's $30 just for Burial at Sea 1 and 2. And why would you? I mean, I might just buy the season pass for $20. I'm saving $10 if I'm buying them anyway.
Yeah, that's the only upside to a season pass, I think. If you buy it after this stuff's announced, then sure, whatever. Well, if you buy it like you buy, like you buy it when it's first released, then it's like, then you're like, you're kind of stupid. I'm sorry, you're kind of stupid if you're doing that because you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah, and I mean, this is kind of unique too because, like, Nooch, if they're both priced at, like, part one and part two of Burial at Sea at $15, I'm thinking they're a few hours long at least. Like, you know?
I mean, 30 seconds long. Normally DLC is $15. I don't really know. I don't have...
Yeah.
I mean, Irrational is... They can do whatever they want because they're Irrational and they're really good. But it could be, like, anywhere from, like, an hour long to, like, 6 hours long.
Sure.
It could be, like, a whole, like, another 10 hours of gameplay or something, but it could also be just a few hours.
Yeah.
Just never know.
But, Nooch, you said most DLC costs $15? That's not true. The only DLC that costs $15 is Call of Duty DLC. Everything else costs from the $5 to $10 range.
Yeah, $15 seems a little bit steep. That's why I'm thinking, well, I mean, it's Ken Levine and Irrational. And like you said, Nooch, like, they're going to do what they're going to do. And I have a feeling that this is going to be, like, really cool. Like, really cool. And that's why they haven't done a lot of details about it yet. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. I'll buy the first one. If I like it, then I'll buy the second one. Elizabeth's playstyle, from what I've read, seems to be pretty cool. Like, she's really weak, and she can, like, set traps and stuff. And they're, like, rebuilding the gameplay, like, the mechanics of it, so it's kind of closer to Bioshock 1, which supports more of the trap stealth kind of gameplay, so that's kind of cool. And
the interesting thing is they said one new plasmid, one new weapon or something like that.
Yep.
So I'm thinking maybe they'll bring back the ice plasmid.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was actually just going to say that. I hope they bring back the ice one, because that was weird that they didn't have that.
If they do that, then I'll buy Bioshock Infinite for the PS3 so I can play. Let's see. Because I missed the ice plasmid.
Did you guys see that story about Take-Two? And they were talking about Bioshock Infinite and Red Dead Redemption and how, like, they're kind of teasing that, like, yes, these are, like, legit series. Like, Red Dead Redemption might get a sequel sometime soon or something.
Well, Bioshock is already a legit series, but
Dead,
they were, like strongly teasing that there's going to be a sequel.
Which is awesome. I still have to play that game. It's another open-world game that I don't have the time to soak into. I completely missed that game when it came out.
And also, they pretty much, like the rumor is that they got the Bully license, you know, like, secure or whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe they're working a sequel for that, like a sequel or a series out of that, too.
Yeah.
Which would be cool.
You said you didn't
really like
it. I
played a little bit of Bully, and I didn't really enjoy it, but maybe that's because I played it a couple years after its release. And by a couple, I mean like 6 or 7 or something, like Nooch did with Sly 2.
Oh, by the way, Sly 2, a 9.1 on IGN. And I looked up today, Sly 2 is the highest, has the highest Metacritic grade out of any Sucker Punch game ever, including Infamous Festival of Blood. It has a Metacritic rating of 88.
Damn, dude.
Okay, so let's move to our unmiked session. We got a lot, at least I did, of people who were like, okay, your style of your podcast last week, episode 5, was awesome. How we did, like, the unmiked thing where, like, we each, it's very, like, laid back. I mean, the podcast is laid back anyway, but we kind of just go around the group and we just, like, say things and discuss them. Very conversational. I don't know if this is going to be a thing we do every week or a little part of it, but we have some stuff we want to talk about. So I guess we'll kind of do a mini version of it. I don't know if you guys have – Nooch, you say you have your topic. Ryan, you're still debating. If you guys don't mind, maybe I'll go first.
Go ahead.
All right. So this is where I'm going to talk about Guacamelee. Again, I've been playing it extensively a lot. It says it takes about 5 hours to beat. I've been playing it for about 7 hours now, and I still haven't gotten to the last boss yet. So between 5 and 10, I'd say I'm basically finished with it. And I want to start off by saying that when I was younger, my first experience with video games was over at my grandma's house, my grandma Jane. And she had a Super Nintendo and the original Game Boy. And so she also worked at a video store, too, in town. So she got all the games and stuff for free. Like, she would rent them or whatever for free. And the first games I would start playing with my uncle, who at the time, he was, like, 18 years old, and I was, like, 3 or 4, were, like, Castlevania, like, the original Donkey Kong, Super Mario Brothers, and also Metroid on the Game Boy, like, Super Metroid on the original Game Boy. And the reason I bring up those games is because Guacamelee harkens back to those games. And I actually made a tweet earlier today. I was playing Guacamelee before I went to work. And I said that Guacamelee is the best video game I have played this year. And, of course, Bioshock Infinite and The Last of Us, I played both of those games, and Tomb Raider. And no one actually commented on it. I thought I was going to start, like, a firestorm or something. But I fully believe that, although it's not going to win Game of the Year, and I'm not going to vote it for Game of the Year. It's just, it's the quintessential game. It has fighting game mechanics. Ryan likes fighting games. You know, we all play PlayStation All-Stars. That's how we met. You have to learn and master combos to beat very difficult enemies. It is a Metroidvania game in the fact that it's side-scrolling 2D platformer, but like you have to buy abilities, you have to go back to different places. It's an open world, and so you can get different treasures and unlock new chests and stuff like that that are only accessible if you learn different moves. It's beautiful. There's no voice acting, but there's no voice acting in the original Castlevania or Metroid games either, so it kind of feels like it might not have fit if there was voice acting anyway. And the musical soundtrack is all super, like, Mexican, and of course you're playing as a luchador, and it just fits perfectly. And the vibrant color palette's awesome. It's totally super, like, Mexico art style, music, everything. It's awesome. And Drinkbox Studios, they're an indie developer. This is technically an indie game. They're a studio that you should – they're going to be on our radar. Let's put it that way. We should be watching them in the years to come. If you've never played Mutant Blob's Attack or the first Mutant Blob game, I highly recommend that too. They're both on the Vita. They're both dirt cheap. And actually, if you buy Guacamelee, you get Mutant Blob's Attack for free. So those are awesome games. They don't have platinums. Guacamelee does. Guacamelee is really hard. It's really, really hard. And to get the platinum, it's like a really hard platinum. Hard mode is crazy hard from what I've seen. It's just an old school gamer's game. It really is. And it's really cool that it's dirt cheap on PSN. And, of course, it's cross-buy. So if you buy, you know, the PlayStation 3, you get Vita for free or vice versa. So I've been playing on my Vita. I guess the PlayStation 3 version's awesome too, obviously. It's just a really fun, great video game. BioShock Infinite, The Last of Us, they are like breathtaking and speechless experiences, and they're in their own category. But I just want to tell you guys, like, don't pass up on this game. Nooch, I know you said you're going to get a Vita soon or something like that for Christmas. Play Guacamelee. It is awesome. It is so, so good. So yeah, that's my thing on Guacamelee. I really like it.
Just to say something about Guacamelee, something that you said kind of brought up a joke in my mind. when you say Mexican soundtrack, all I think of is like a banjo and like a tumbleweed.
Oh, like almost, and almost like a mariachi band or something.
You know, like dun 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 dun. I had that picture in my head of like a dude sitting on a chair with a straw in his mouth with a banjo, like plucking it and stuff, and a tumbleweed's flying across the desert. I just had that picture in my head. It was like, that's the soundtrack for Guacamelee?
No.
I could buy that.
To me, that would be more like a southern or western game. Like the Mexican feel is very mariachi band, salsa.
I just kind of like, whenever you say Mexican soundtrack, it makes me think banjo. So
that's so funny.
I'd buy it for the banjo.
No, it's really good. And actually, look for my review before this weekend. I've already kind of started penning it, and it'll be up on our website by Friday is what I'm hoping for. So
you'll
have
a practice review before your Dragon's Crown review.
This is very true. Also, speaking about Dragon's Crown, while I have the mic here, I think I'm going to buy the PlayStation 3 version of it. I want to buy the Vita version, but that game looks hectic as hell. And PlayStation 3, I've got a big 46-inch TV. So I think I'm going to buy the PlayStation 3 version. If I like it a lot, Vanillaware, take my money. I'll buy the Vita game for you guys. So, yeah.
Yeah, and
it's not cross-buy.
I don't know much about that thing. It's not cross-buy, so you can't play it on your Vita in the PlayStation 3 or whatever. But, like, from what I saw, it looks like in the IGN review or whatever, it looks like that was played on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
So if that's PlayStation 3 Dragon Crown's graphics, what does it look like on the Vita?
Yeah.
Because it looked not good graphic-wise on the PlayStation 3. I was like, that...
Well, here's the thing about the graphics. It's not... I mean, it's an obvious 2D game, so it's not about, like, being realistic. But if you look at it closely, it's all hand-drawn. Nooch, you were watching a live stream today, weren't you? And, like,
I was.
Isn't it gorgeous in that way? Like, all the animations. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, there's just so much detail.
It's
like,
so
in the backgrounds
awesome.
And everything. Mm-hmm. Even though it's, like, a really simple kind of...
Yeah, it's 2D. You know, it's, like, 2D.
Yeah.
You know?
But then, like, all the environments or everything are really detailed and everything.
These old school games, Nooch, you're a few years younger than we are, so you didn't really grow up, like, on those games. But you should. Are you going to get Dragon's Crown? Are you going to get that game?
I might.
You might, yeah. And, like, when you get your Vita, definitely get Guacamelee. I mean, you guys can play it on PlayStation 3, obviously. Get Guacamelee. If you're listening to this podcast, buy Guacamele. Drinkbox Studios. Support.
I'll buy Guacamele if you can promise me I hear a banjo somewhere in that game.
You probably do. You hear a lot of trumpets too, but yeah. Buy Guacamele and look for my review very, very soon. It's an awesome game. Okay, Nooch, you're up.
Okay. Well, I've been playing a lot of Ni No Kuni.
That's right.
Ryan.
Okay, Nooch, you don't get off that easy. Come on, pretty boy. Okay, so
you don't get off. I've been playing a lot of Ni No Kuni.
Is this your first like JRPG?
Yes, this is. I never actually played like a Pokemon game or a Tales game or like I never even played like Final Fantasy.
Right, I actually never played Final Fantasy either.
I've only played one Final Fantasy.
What do you think of the genre? It is a very old genre, and it seems like it's almost a renaissance right now. It's coming back.
Well, the thing is, I love Ni No Kuni. I love it. And
how cool is Oliver? Seriously.
His voice actor isn't amazing, but his character is pretty good.
I mean, just his character, like, you feel for him, don't you? Like, he's just this lovable kid.
Yeah. I love Drippy Moy more.
He talks like he's stumbling out of a bar. He's got that, like, thick, like,
and, Celtic and he's really
Irish
funny.
Accent? I've actually seen like, Ni No Kuni played, so.
Drippy is, like, in some of the dialogue sequences, like, on side quests and stuff, he's actually really funny. So.
I've actually seen a good portion of that gameplay, so I know Drippy, he kind of seems Irish to me.
Yeah, Irish or, like, Dutch or something, somewhere over in, like, Northern Europe. Nooch. Do an impression of Drippy. Let's hear him.
Oi. No.
You said you were level grinding. You kind of said that earlier in the podcast. Is that something you'd recommend? I mean, I'm going to pick up Ni No Kuni at some point. Do you have any tips, tricks, kind of thing? Because you're new to the genre, so.
There is, in at least Ni No Kuni, there's one type of enemy that you find. I'm not actually sure how far into the game you find it, but there's like one type of it gives you 2,000 XP, one gives you 8,000 XP, and one gives you 25,000 XP. And I've been grinding off the one that gives you 8,000 XP, and it's like I ended up with that one. I've been playing for 2 days, just like yesterday and today, and I got 27 levels in 2 days, and I went from being under leveled versus a boss to over leveled, and it was like. Like, I was saying this before we were recording, like, I spent an hour on one boss, and I ended up dying, and then, and I wasn't even, like, halfway done, and then today I went back to it with, like, 25 levels higher, and I was done with it in, like, 10 minutes.
That's so awesome. See what happens when you grind? Grinding's not always the funnest, most fun thing to do, but it pays off in JRPGs.
Yeah, the best way to do that is have something to listen to. Just have something else to do. Like, just, like, listen to a podcast. Listen to us.
Were you listening to us? Were you listening to P.I.?
You could listen to Slipknot while doing it. Wait and bleed. Just get, yeah, killing everything. You know, just get all heavy in there. And, yeah, and then you all get sadistic. I'm killing you. Yeah.
Just go listen to something. Do, like, focus on something else and just kind of just be, like, playing that. And it'll, like, time will fly, and then you'll just, like, 25 levels later, you'll be like, where did the time go?
Yeah, wasn't it, like, Voltaire or, like, Socrates that said time flies when you're having fun or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's really cool. That's awesome, Nooch. I saw you're getting a lot of trophies for that, too. That's sweet.
Can't do that. I'm sorry, Nooch. I don't have your patience. Even if I'm listening to music, I can't sit there and do the same thing for several hours.
I'm right. Well, I can't play the same thing for several hours in a row, and I'm not a big fan of RPGs, but Borderlands 2 is my favorite game ever.
Yeah, that's a different story, though. Like, I do a lot of different things in Borderlands. Like, I'm a rare gun collector, so to speak. Fighting raid bosses with friends. you know, just going around killing enemies, working on the platinum. And then I'm also working on another character, so...
I know, we're just getting it crap.
The thing was for me, it wasn't like it was boring. I was trying to farm the 2000 XP one before that, and it was really boring. But then I just like went to this, and I was like, oh my god, this can get me up like anytime I kill this one enemy, it can give me two more levels. And I'm like I just keep wanting to go get this. So it was the excitement that every time I tried to fight an enemy, it, like, this enemy might pop up.
That is so cool. I love that moment in RPGs, like when you're in the wild or whatever. You're like, oh, what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
And then like one time, there was a point where like three enemies in a row it popped up. So there's three levels right there, and then there was one where it popped up two times in one fight. So I'm just like,
so you were like, just like, damn, dude.
Yeah. And just for reference, these enemies are called Toko. The one I was fighting is called Toko Toko. Just Ni No Kuni references.
What do they look like? What is their character model?
Just kind of like green blobs.
Okay.
I don't really want to spoil any kind of thing in the story. They're not.
Look for the green blobs, everybody. If you're playing Ni No Kuni, that's a direct quote from Pretty Boy.
Toko Toko. These names. They seem really, really well thought out. Just like Nooch.
Yeah.
All right. Spent the whole 2 seconds thinking of that name.
Hey, Ryan.
We have the Toko enemy. Maybe we can create a second enemy.
Well, it's just a second. Toko. It's just a second level of this one.
We can.
Actually, one thing I love with Ni No Kuni is the puns that it makes. It's just like every enemy has some kind of pun with their name.
Like, what's an example of it?
Like, there's one thing that's like a balloon, and it's called a balloonatic.
I saw the one that's like a banana tree, and they called it a babana.
Yeah, there's that one. It's just like everything is just like based off of something.
It seems like heavy Pokemon influenced. Like Pokemon's the only other game where you'll be able to fight a banana.
Don't be hating on Pokemon, man.
Pokemon's fine, but still, it's like ridiculously over the top. You're fighting a banana with, like, a rock.
And also, Borderlands reference, I mean, not really. You can only hope. But there's an enemy in the game called the Claptrap.
Really?
And one of the main things you do in the game is you try to gain familiars for your party. And what I did with that was I named it CL4PTP. Just like
Claptrap. Does he like high fives?
He does.
He likes giving high fives.
At least I like to think he does.
He has his own vision in his mind of what this Claptrap familiar is. So yeah, it sounds like Ni No Kuni sounds heavily Pokemon influenced. The only difference is I think I'd be interested in that game if it didn't take several hours of grinding. I can't do that. I can't do that.
Yeah, because I was like, the thing was, I was having so much trouble with the game beforehand, and then I just like I had to end up looking at a wiki because I was so confused as to what to do because I kept dying and it was just taking forever. And I was like I would look at some pictures of everything, and these people would be 25 levels above me, and I'm just like, okay, well, I need to level up.
These enemies are level 20, and I'm level 2. I obviously need to level up.
And it's just like, yeah, the thing about it was yesterday was mostly, like, I was doing a bunch of side missions. And I was actually, like, I wasn't really expecting to have that much fun. I was just kind of expecting because I wanted to get some of the side mission bonuses. But I was actually having a lot of fun just kind of searching around, going from place to place, just, like, doing side missions and everything.
Look at Nooch having fun playing video games. That's what it's all about, folks.
That's a rare occurrence in this day and age.
Yeah.
Do we go to me now?
No, we go to the fourth member of the podcast and then back to you.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
Booty Popper, you want to talk? Booty Popper says he's not interested in talking.
Booty Popper, of course, is Ryan's
Booty Popper,
dog.
For reference, is my Shih Tzu. Like, his real name is Gizmo, but I call him Booty Popper. Two things I actually want to talk about. One, just very briefly, I wanted to talk about, like, my controller is dying on me. I would pay good money to anyone who would be able to design a PS3 controller with zero on it. I doubt that's possible, but I would pay money for it if you could do it. And then, secondly, it's kind of a mixture of two things. Like, I just want to talk about the DC news this week in general, starting with Arrow, which neither of you guys have any sort of authority on this, so you just be quiet again. They announced this week that in the Arrow series, TV series, that The Flash, Barry Allen, popular character, is going to be a character in Arrow, and he's going to be getting his own spinoff series possibly from that if it's successful, which is great, great news. A lot of people I've seen complain about this, and I think like they think The Flash deserves his own movie, and I think, well, that's cool and all. Yeah, I think he deserves his own movie, but I actually think it's better if he has a TV show because you can watch TV every single week, and he's on there every single week, much more character development, much more villains instead of just one for an hour. You see these two fight for an hour, and then, you know, it's kind of like, okay. With TV shows, it's like you get more character development, you get more character in general. It doesn't take 2 years for the movie to come out. You get a new episode of a Flash TV series every week, so I don't understand where the complaints come from for this. I think this is a win. I'd prefer it if more superhero TV shows were like that. As I said, I think like any superhero could be perfect for TV. The only things that I think need movies are like the team-up movies, you know, like the Avengers and the Justice League. These movies need these kind of things need a movie because it wouldn't really work in a TV setting. So that's cool. Like, Flash got his own TV show. That's awesome. He deserves it. And then also, Batman Arkham Origins announced multiplayer today, which I summed up my feelings in the same two words that I always sum it up in. Damn, dude. I don't really have an opinion on it, but it's cool, I guess. It's all right. It sounds fun. They're having a beta for it. Actually, they're sending out keys to people who have a WB ID. I haven't gotten one, so I don't think I'm going to be able to participate in this beta, although I really wish I could. I don't think I'm going to be able to, but just letting everyone know that there's a beta coming out for Arkham Origins, and there's multiplayer, and sounds kind of fun. And, yeah, Arkham Origins, a lot of people complained about it and said, oh, no, it's not made by Rocksteady. And look at it now. I was one of the only people who praised that game. I still am praising it, so that's all I have to say. DC is fucking coming back at Marvel now. They may not be the best in the movie scene, but they kill them in the TV and video game scene.
I'm, you know, I don't read the comics or anything, but you have already heard me talk about this, Ryan. DC, greater than Marvel. I mean, in my opinion, it's cool. It's cool.
No.
No, I mean, that's what I... You know I've already said that before.
Yeah, but you don't read enough. If you read like I do or other people, then you'd probably be like, what the hell are you doing, DC?
Yeah.
I have nothing to add to this conversation.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know, because you guys are poop.
Hey, Ryan, let's just talk about one more thing. So that multiplayer, it's like a 3v3v2, and the 2 is Batman and Robin. Like, how is that going to work? Like, how is that... Do you think it's going to work?
Batman and Robin are, they've already pretty much described it in depth, really. Like, Batman and Robin are like, it's like a capture and hold kind of thing for the thugs, okay. The Joker thugs and the Bane thugs, and they capture and hold, and then Batman and Robin try to, like, kill them. Mm-hmm. If they kill them, you know, they don't kill, but it's like mm-hmm. sort of killing. If they kill them, then the thugs get intimidated, and then if they kill so many, Batman and Robin kill so many of the thugs, then Bane and Joker tell their people to retreat. And Batman and Robin win. That's the only way Batman and Robin win. Where on the flip side, the thugs win if they hold a certain amount of objectives for a certain amount of time.
Okay. Interesting.
It's another new take on multiplayer, like what The Last of Us had. It just sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's like I've never really heard of that before. I mean, it sounds kind of unique.
But the problem is it's made by the people who made Brink.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
Which we all know how Brink turned out.
Oh, very well, right? That's the poop sound. Okay,
I'll tell you how Brink turned out. Sum it up in two words. Damn, dude. Just damn, dude.
Any parting thoughts? Ryan, do you want to get on a soapbox again and just, like, scream at somebody or something?
Nintendo, why?
Nintendo, why? Nooch, how about you?
Nope.
Come on, Newt, you got to get on the soapbox.
Question for you guys. You guys going to bed after this? After we're done? This is actually late. What is this? Actually, technically Thursday morning now. Late Wednesday we're recording this. Kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if you guys want to play some PS All-Stars. Guys, hit us up on PSN. I am a bit of luck 151. Nucci. Nucci333. And Ryan, of course, is Chimera and Helgas. And if you don't know how to spell that, get fucked and play some PlayStation games. Chimerin with an N at the end. So, yeah, we still got some friend slots open. Hit us up. We still playing some All-Stars. Ryan, for an hour at a time, still plays some Last of Us. Matt's looking for friends to play Last of Us, so, but, you know.
Yeah, and Twiddle handles. Twiddle, Kyle. Twiddle. You can't forget about Whittle. Twiddle.
Twiddle. I'm WX Man Kyle.
I am Under the Hood with 2 0s.
You know what I am.
That a boy, Nooch.
Oh, no.
That a boy, Nooch. Yeah, guys, please seriously, like, email the podcast, like, for real. No emails again this week. If you want to be a writer, gosh, it sounds like we're, like, asking for, like, begging for change on the corner or something. No, it's a lot of fun, and video games are going to start picking up soon. So, okay, I actually have a housekeeping item. My friend, who does not listen to this podcast, so I really don't care that I'm throwing him under the bus now, but he completely stiffed us on artwork for iTunes. The only thing we need to get us on iTunes is a 600 pixel by 600 pixel like album artwork. And if you or any of your friends know how to design artwork, or like, we'll do it for free. All we need is something that says Podcast Infinite, you know. Help us out, because I suck at it. I don't have a mouse like on my laptop. Like, I'm not a graphics artist. Nooch, you've tried. It's just like,
yeah, I have a laptop, so I'm not. I
it's
can't
just
do
like,
that.
It's a no-go.
I could do it if I had a laptop, but unfortunately I don't. I wrote that entire blog that I posted today, which was close to 2,000 words, on my phone.
Yep. And that's the thing. So if you know anyone who will do art for free, Nooch, can you maybe do some homework? That kid that made that logo for you on, what is it, your IGN blog?
Yeah.
Can you see maybe if he can just make like a thing?
Sure.
I'd like to have my IGN blog. If you have the talent to do it, you know, I have an idea of what I want. I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely. Email us in. podcastinfinite@gmail.com. If you're an artist of any kind, looking for artists. yeah. So that's the only hiccup on iTunes. Otherwise, we'll be on iTunes shortly, as soon as we can get the album artwork done. That'll be exciting, and reviews aplenty coming up. Mine starts on Tuesday. I'm gonna see if I can get it before, like, if I can just play that game nonstop before the podcast releases next week, which be Friday. Nooch, you are going on vacation, so have a nice vacation next week. Me and Ryan.
Are we going to record a podcast next week?
Yeah, me and you can hold down the fort. Nooch, when are you leaving? Early next week?
Yeah.
Do you wanna record something this weekend, maybe? You're a fan favorite, Nooch. You are. Everyone wants to hear you talk.
Really?
You're a fan favorite, man.
I think you guys can hold down the fort without me.
Nooch is a fan favorite.
All right, so instead of two listeners next week, we'll only have one. Okay, so yeah. It'll be great.
So. Half of our listeners.
So, Kyle, you tell me that I have a lot of fans. So if Nooch has a fan and you have a lot of people talk to you, that must mean I actually don't have a fan.
Nooch has some fans. I've already told Nooch this, that people like when Nooch talks. People think Nooch is very educated, and they like his writing style. So, go
ahead. What do they say about me?
Also, well, here's the thing. Also, Nooch is single, so ladies, get at him.
Oh,
at Nooch,
no.
At Nooch 333.
Kyle is also single.
Get fucked, Ryan. I am.
I am the only person. Funnily enough, I am the stupidest and one who shouldn't be dating anyone here. And I am the only one of these gentlemen who has a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Tells you the kind of woman that the girls are interested in. This guy.
Wait.
You guys need to be more funny. Basically what I'm saying.
You have turned this podcast into a train wreck, Ryan Walker.
Another one.
Mission to success.
Yeah. We're. So again, podcastinfinite@gmail.com. We need to wrap up this podcast. This is actually
podcastinfinite.wordpress.com.
Yes, that is our website. We will be writing on there a lot in the coming
much
days.
Much more frequently. I think I checked it. We wrote like once this week, and it was just podcast episode 5.
Kyle said he's going to put my Borderlands vlog on there.
This is why we need more people.
And guys, seriously, hold me to it. I'm setting myself a date right now. Right now. By the end of August, I, Kyle, will be writing some sort of article on the website once per day. I'm going to try to get a blog post up once every single day. My schedule really, like, chills out as we go into the fall. And your guys get busy with school and stuff, so.
That sounds like a plan, Kyle. You could write one blog every day. It could be like,
Hi, I'm Kyle. Here's my blog for the day.
You could write one letter every day.
Hey, Ryan, that sounds like such a good idea. Not.
This blog is titled I. This blog is titled T. That way you can hold yourself to it, you know? You can post a new blog every day.
Yeah, Ryan, stop being a troll on the podcast, bro. Quit trolling, your friends, you know.
Actually, speaking of that, I think the other position we need for the website is a news editor.
For sure. Just all around news and stuff. So yeah, please email us. And even if you are interested, say, I know a friend, I can talk to him or her. Here is their email address, or, you know, I'll have them email you. Anyone. It's really good to put on a resume. We don't, like, neither of us three are in the video games business, but we're really trying to, yet. But we're just doing this for fun, and it's a lot of fun to do, and writing's fun, and we really like to do it.
As long as I'm here, though, be honest with yourself, that yet seems like less and less of a reality.
Yeah, you're our downfall. We're just waiting for the day that we can get rid of you, Ryan.
But also, be honest with yourselves, no one would be listening if I wasn't here. It would just be you two, like,
hey, saying... Hey,
Nooch has fans. No, Nooch has really fans, does.
But, like, it would just be, like, you know, monotonous and then just, you know, like, speaking, hey. Like, the same every... Hey guys, did you know BioShock Infinite DLC was announced today? You don't have the same spot. You wouldn't have the same spontaneous that you do when I'm here.
Hey, we've been rambling for like.
We have. This has gone on so long. So yeah, let's get out there, do good things, play some games, All Stars, get fucked, Ryan and Nooch, you're the man, and PI.
PI.
Bam, dude.